Hey,
Hey,
hey, hey,
hey,
hey. Happy Wednesday, everybody. West Coast Wednesday, Inauguration Day.
Very
I know everybody's got to be on a good mood. I mean, you got to be having a blessed day today, you know? Like, it's just...
This is the first time in 4 years I literally had to sleep at night and wake up with good rest.
Yeah.
To wake up the next day and literally not have to be stuck in bed. Because of something that happened 4 years ago where I literally could not get out of bed. I jumped out of bed today like, happy days are here again. The skies are open and it's no clouds, whatever the song goes. Happy days are here again. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day.
All of that.
Yes. And I hope everybody else is having a very happy day. A lot of historical, monumental moments today.
A lot of firsts.
A lot of firsts today. A lot of firsts. Our first
hey,
Black South Asian vice president who is a woman.
First
shout out
ever
to Kamala
vice
Harris.
President woman.
Shout out to all the HBCU Man. Family. What's up, HBCUers?
Shout out to all the Howard out. University alumni.
Yes.
I know all the AKAs
Ruby.
Out there getting
yeah,
it in.
Shout out to all my girls. That's AKA. Shout out to my mom who's an AKA. It
yes.
comes from greatness. We wear these pearls. It's not representation of AKA. Let's be clear. The pearls is a historical moment for. Do you know who, Melissa?
For what?
Do you know what the pearls represent?
I was just listening to this. Please tell
okay.
me more. Give me the breakdown.
Okay. So I'm going to give you the breakdown.
Yeah.
Not only do the AKAs have the 20 pearls, we understand that
yeah.
for the six founders and the four that made the
but there's meaning behind
AKA,
the pearls.
But the pearls are symbolic more so because history was made many years ago by a wonderful woman named Shirley Chisholm. Who was our first Black woman, U.S. Congresswoman, who also was the first Black woman to run on a Democratic ticket many moons ago. She wore her pearls like a choker. That was symbolic to her. So we're doing it for Shirley. We're doing it for RBG. We're doing it for all the women that have paved the way. We're doing it for, and Shirley Chisholm was a Delta, so shout out to the Deltas too, because all of that encompasses everything of phenomenal women. So, that is what our country should look like. All of these who've paved the way before and now the fruition of years later with the 46th president, Mr. Joe Biden, and his first lady, Dr. Jill Biden, who is just phenomenal. And then we have our first woman vice president. I mean, this, you cannot, I don't know if I ever would have lived to see the day. And I'm only 45 years old. I don't know if I would have. I probably would have hoped that I'd see something like this, but I didn't know if I'd live to see it. And that's sad. But I'm
well.
Glad
I don't think growing up did I ever think that the president would be a female, or that the vice president could be a female, or that we'd have a female running for president. I mean, we never thought those things growing up. We just, you know, that wasn't
no,
the tone.
Not at all. Not at all. Not at all. And we also have our first millennial in Senate. Who I have a huge crush on, John Ossoff, I love you. You are 33 years old. You were born in 1987. You are the youngest senator below when Biden started. He was 37. John Ossoff is 33. Awesome Ossoff is what I like to call him. Out of the state of Georgia, who came through, is the youngest senator right now. And a shout out to him. Shout out to our first Latin, all my Latino brothers and sisters. Shout out to the first Latino male senator out of California. Shout out to him. I mean, that's Alex Padilla. Cali's doing their thing. He replaced Senator, Madam Vice President Kamala Harris's seat. But
yes.
we got to shout him out. We also have to shout out Rachel Levine, the first transgender assistant of health and human services. Let's get these first going. It's not about diversity because diversity has always been there. It's about inclusion and having the voice. That's mm-hmm. what we want. We want the inclusion. We know the diversity is around us. We know that aspect. But we want to be included in the conversation, in all the dialogue, to be part of the change, to suggest things to help make USA better. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all we want to do. And I think we're going to get that done. So I'm very excited. Like I said, this is the first night I've actually got really decent rest in 4 years. I feel like a heavy burden has been lifted off her shoulder. I heard the weather was really nice in DC, minus 45. I'll take it. And then I also know there have a lot of terms for that previous president, but two ain't one of them. You get me? So I'm just very excited and elated and just happy, you know, that this is just the first bump. We have a long way to go. I want to give a shout out to a very special young lady, Amanda Gorman from Los Angeles, a Harvard University grad, who gave a very impassioned poem.
Amazing.
It's amazing. And it's just, hey, Heather. And it's the thing that Black girls everywhere, we all can dream. Any woman can dream. Any person of color can dream and be the youngest as a poet laureate at the inaugural today. And I just think that is just another part of the excellence that we have and we possess as women. And
I mean, any young girl can dream for that. We have never seen that happen. It's usually been so old, you know.
We've only seen Maya Angelou. So we invoke the spirit of Maya Angelou. We have spoke the poetry for Robert Frost, who has spoken at inaugural. We've never had one that was this young, 22 years old, who embodied everything and took the time. And it was a recommendation of Jill Biden. Jill Biden had been following her, that she speak. And the fact that she got a voice and a platform, I think it was amazing for everybody to hear that. Because we need to hear that. We need these truths. We need to know that our country is still hurting. There is a lot of pains. There's still a lot of work that needs to be done. And this is, hey, this is kind of the acknowledgement. And now we need to move forward and make the necessary steps in the right direction.
Well, and another first, too, was that Biden chose his first cabinet member today. And
yes, he did.
The director of National Intelligence, who is another female, mind you, the first female for the director of National Intelligence. And here, if you guys know women, all you got to do is get a name. We'll find out their whole story after
that. Oh, shout out to my girl, Caroline, because I feel like she's second in the running for that. She will dig deep for you. She will hold the FBI.
You can't pick another perfect thing for a director of national intelligence than a woman, because she will get to the bottom of it.
We were going to get to the bottom of everything. Hello, Daryl. Shout out to you. Yeah, it is a done deal, but it's a good day. I mean, we're going to get to the bottom of stuff. We're going to ask a lot of questions. Sometimes if we don't care, we're not going to ask. But if we do care, we're going to ask a ton of questions. Just know that that's what women folk do. And that's
I don't know if you caught the first White House briefing. They had it already had a first White House briefing.
I saw it with the
press secretary. Yeah, press secretary. She is on point. She doesn't lie. She's not looking for a lie to think of. She has direct contact with the president already. She already has spent time with Joe Biden. She's already had, you know, a familiar place within the White House.
That's right.
I mean, I just feel safe listening to her versus what was her name. You know what I mean? Like, I can't.
I don't know who that person is.
I don't either.
What you speak. I feel like we were in a prison sentence. We did our push-ups. We meditated. We prayed as best as we could. And now we're free. We're on. We've been reprieved, you know. So we're out. We've been pardoned. Okay. So I did my push-ups. I meditated. I did everything I needed to do on this four-year stint. And now free. Free.
You out of jail. You
out
good.
Of jail.
You good.
I'm good.
Thanks for checking in, Daryl. We appreciate you. And yes, I think a lot of people, it was just phenomenal to see the people, the unity across the board that came together through at least my Facebook, because there were still some people that are on the Republican side of my Facebook, which I'm fine with. Everybody's able to have their own political views. I think it was just when he went too far to the right with some of the things that we've had from our former four-year person, that it was tough. So seeing people that are on the Republican side that are still coming, because everybody, I think, just wants this to be unified and to step forward.
Yeah, but they got to make the step to do that. We've done our unity. We've done everything. Yeah. And they've got to do the heavy lifting with us. And they've got to come to the fact and acknowledge that a lot of it they have. Yes, Beth, shout out to you in Seattle. I know it was. It was an amazing day. It's very super emotional. You know, I didn't want to cry. I did shed a little tear here and there.
Well, you know, my cancer self, I had a couple of
tears. But I just feel like we're free. We're finally free. And over those on the bipartisan side, y'all just got to figure that thing out and get it together. Like, for real. And I don't have that kind of smoke on my timeline. Everybody knows where I stand. Everybody knows where I'm at and how I feel. Mm-hmm. And so I don't see that side of it too often. But the fact that you do and that some are trying to go on a unity thing, I guess that's great. We'll see what happens.
Donnell over here asking about the pardons, though.
Yeah, I know. The pardons were... Well, look at the guy of who he is. I don't even want to get into this, okay? We got to talk sports.
We're not talking about him.
Like I said, it was minus 45 degrees. Beautiful weather in D.C. And sunny. Sunny.
The heavens were... Everybody in heaven was shining down bright.
Everything was good. It was a good day. It just was a great day. So we have a guest. He is a... Sad to say, but long time
Tampa Bay Buccaneer
fan. Yeah, yeah. He's an OG. He's not.
We like call it the pre-Tom era.
Well, we don't even call the pre-Tom era. And he's not a Tom Brady fan that went to Buccaneers. He's always been a Bucs fan. This is his thing. Mm-hmm. Always repping out of Tampa. We have Guru from Guru Speaks Podcast.
Let's get him on. Guru, what's good?
You and those glasses, bro. You and those glasses. What's up?
How y'all doing?
I'm good. Because you sent me a picture. You're like, Mo, I really want you to use a picture of the glasses. I'm like, no, you've got your cousin's little head peeping behind your shoulder. There's no way I can Photoshop that out. Not that there's no disrespect. I just needed you. Because all I could see was your cousin. I took my eyes off the glasses. I didn't even know you had glasses on in the photo. I kept looking at your cousin.
Matter of fact, that was one of the Bucks headquarters that I was at. I actually took that picture with another Bucks fan. We all were there at that one night at my cousin's house, and my cousin was in the back, so she was trying to get a drink on. So it was me and my homie. We took the picture, but
I saw the photo bomb. It was nice.
We took that picture the night that we got beat on a primetime Thursday night by the Bears, unfortunately.
So
we all left the house, you know, kind of upset, but yeah.
No, I get it. I get it. I totally get
it. So, Guru, you know, we had to have you on because you are we like to say original Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan, because we have seen a lot of our friends and people on social media have all of a sudden made the switch.
Indeed.
They're following Tom like they follow LeBron. Like, it's just something that just happened. So now there's all these new Bucs fans. And I know a lot of teams get that to happen with them once they win a Super Bowl, or when some big move happens, they get all these new fans. But how long have you been a Bucs fan, and what do you think made the difference? I mean, we know it made a difference, but what all happened this season for you guys that got you to where you're at?
Well, I'm 29 currently, so I've been a Bucs fan since I was about, I knew what football was since I fell in love with the game around 5 years old. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So we won a championship in 2002. I know Mo don't like to hear this, but we won a championship in 2002. I was 11 years old. So, you know, I pretty much have grown with the team, and I've seen the team in different facets and different stages. I remember the Tony Dungy era. I remember the Gruden era. I remember the Shiano, so on and so, Raheem Morris, so on and so forth. So I've actually grown with the team, and I don't know if y'all remember me tweeting this. I think I tweeted or Instagrammed it one time, but when Tom first came, I actually wasn't too pleased.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that. You were talking about the Fairweather fans coming over, right, and the people that were the Tom Brady fans coming over and all of that. Has that changed?
I still hold that sentiment, but because it's not him per se. He's just a player on the team. Right. But, like, we got so many of his supporters came with him. And I know they're not true fans. But what I do respect is, like, my boy Dre Day from New York. He said, yo, Guru, can I come in? Do I need to fill out an application? So I emailed him a new fan application. So he filled it out. But there's other Bucks fans that was like, look, we've been here, they're fake, and I don't like that. And the team just got really Hollywood to me. We got Gronkowski, and then it was just like, it was crazy, because even our social media, before Tom came here, the Bucks social media the following wasn't that big. You know what I'm saying? I think on Twitter we had 200,000. Now, if y'all check now, we had 900,000, almost about to crack a million. Wow.
Don't let them win a Super Bowl.
Oh, it's gonna be
to over a million.
Oh, of course, probably 2 points.
Yeah. I'm guessing.
And wow.
I'm looking at the shift in the socials, Facebook going up, Twitter and IG. And I've been trying to get my team to follow me for years. And all these new fans coming in, they're getting a follow button like that. So I'm feeling some type of way. I'm like, man, look.
Of course you are, because you, like me, you weather the storm when your team sucked after having a Super Bowl win against my Raiders. it went down in a downward spiral. No one talked about Tampa Bay. They didn't care about Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So as soon as Tom Brady made the big announcement that he was coming over, I knew that was going to happen. I knew that was coming. But you just got to, you know, take it for what it is and just go with the flow. You know where you stand with it. And that's how I had to feel with the Lakers with LeBron coming over. You had all these new LeBron fans. I ain't a Laker fan, but I'm a LeBron fan. It's like, okay, that's fine. That's all well and good. But just know, you know who the OGs are, and you are definitely one of the OGs. So
I appreciate that.
Yeah. So
we got a question real quick from one of the listeners. So do you really think that Tampa can beat Green Bay?
I do. And I really do. From the bottom of my heart, I do. See, ladies, I believe in taking one game at a time. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm not focused on the Super Bowl right now. Do I want us to go? Of course. But we have Green Bay this coming Sunday at 3:45, I believe, or something like that.
In Lambeau.
At Lambeau Field.
23 degrees. East Coast time.
So I think it's 6 o'clock for y'all, something like that.
Yeah,
so,
5 o'clock, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're facing two things going against us right now. The weather, we're Florida. Yep. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I know for me personally, when it gets 60 degrees, I want to pull out a mink coat. I'm so cold. You know what
I'm saying? I feel you on that.
The cold weather, and then the opposed to when we faced Drew Brees last week. And Rodgers is still skilled enough to get the ball downfield. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But on the other side, their defense is not that good.
Right.
It's not as strong as the Saints' defense was. So we got that working for us. You know, it's going to be a dogfight. And you guys know everything elevates in playoff time. I know we smacked them in the regular season here.
Right.
But that was when they were getting ready to get everything clicking, and Adams just had came back. So now he's on a tear. That's one of my favorite receivers in the league. So it's just like they got great chemistry, but like I said, it's going to be us exploiting their weaknesses in their defense. And we pound for pound got top five defense in the whole league. You know what I'm saying? We got a bunch of young gunners on our defense that's, you know, they bust heads with Devin White, Winfield, Carlton Davis, you know, all these different guys. Levante David, of course, and two of our linebackers should have been in the Pro Bowl. But, you know, hey, that's none of my business. But I do think we can beat them, though.
And well, so we do know.
Go ahead. You got it.
No, I was just going to say, because we do know that at least Tom and Gronk are familiar with cold weather. They're completely. Right.
But Tom has already stated how his blood is thin being in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
He shook a little bit about that cold 23 degree weather because it's supposed to be 23. He said in a post game interview against the Saints that he's like, I don't know. I've been in Florida for quite some time. My blood is thinned. We will see. Now, to me, in my opinion, if I was Tom Brady, I would just charter a jet and I would fly up to that cold weather if I could and throw some routes and just get ready for it. You know, but that's another thing. If he can survive that after being in the heat, because people that move here from Vegas, from Chicago, and things like that,
even Seattle,
in the summer, it gets you know, extremely hot here. Your blood thins. We tell people 40 degrees, it gets very cold in the desert. They don't believe us until their first winter.
Mm-hmm.
So for Tom Brady, winter is coming. I do kind of have a little conspiracy theory about this whole thing, though, because I'm noticing, and I don't know if you guys notice this, how the commercials are always showing Aaron Rodgers and Pat Mahomes. Mm. All Aaron Rodgers, all Pat Mahomes. Like, it's a buildup to predicating that the Super Bowl is going to consist of Green Bay and Kansas City.
Well, I think because State Farm is a huge NFL sponsor, and those are the two State Farm guys, are Aaron and Patrick. So,
But it's even other commercials. It's Gatorade. It's everything. It's all of this. Mm. It's like it's a hype of getting them to the big dance, and the advertisers know, and it's some kind of.
I feel situation. Like you might have had the same hypothesis in a previous year. Was that last year before? Maybe I think maybe you have. I feel like you've had that. Maybe it was. I don't know. I feel like somebody's had this.
I don't know.
Before.
I just found the whole hypothesis very strange in the last few playoff games. But we'll see with these divisional games. What can you expect, Guru, from the line? Is AB gonna ball out? Are we gonna see Gronk getting more catches? What are you expecting in this game? Pretty much.
I'm expecting you know, execution. I'm expecting, I know I personally on Twitter gave in our offensive line hell, especially our left tackle. But I got to show him some love because he's been protecting Tom because he's Tom's blind side. So he did a fantastic job against Cam Jordan last week, the defensive end for the Saints. So as long as we can give Tom time to do what he has to do, and I want our team to be committed to the running game like we were. Ronald Jones is a great ball carrier. So is Fournette.
Fournette's good.
As far as the receiving core goes, AB is a mismatch because he's very small, he's quick, and he can, his bread and butter is in the middle of the field, the intermediate. So he can do a lot of damage. You can line him up XZ slot. Mike, we already know what he can do. Chris, that's my boy. He's been having a drop season playoffs. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's nerves, but besides Tom and AB and Gronk, nobody else has playoff experience. So I'm chalking it up to just nerves, but he'll come down with it when it's time. But it's just like he dropped a touchdown last week. So I'm kind of concerned about Chris because he usually doesn't drop anything. Gronk, he's still Gronk, even though you can see there's a little decline in the play. But I like to use Gronk. He's more effective. Third down conversions and in the red zone. That's what he eats. I don't think he can, you know, do what he used to do in those early days and England stretching the field. So if everybody does their job and execute, I don't see why we can't come back home with the win.
What's the score you got? What's your score prediction? You think they'll go over 45 points?
Wait, let's back up a second. Is Patrick going to be in the game? Or no, I'm sorry.
Tampa Bay right now. Yeah. We're talking Tampa Bay. We'll get to Patrick in a minute. Because here's the thing, Guru. I placed with another colleague of mine a $50 bet that Tampa Bay wins the Super Bowl. It pays out $400. Wow. I would love to see that money. I had one for the Browns, but that busted. So forget it. But with Tampa Bay, I love Aaron Rodgers too. I just can't count Tom Brady out. And right now, I didn't even look at the sports book to see what the over is on it, but I'm guessing it's probably going to go over 45 points. I'm guessing because I thought that right the now. Baltimore and Bills game, and they only scored 20. So I don't know because, like you said, Green Bay's defense is not the best. So offensively, you could see more scoring coming from Tom Brady's way, but you could also see more scoring from Green Bay as well, depending on Aaron Rodgers' skills of reading the field because he reads second line like no other.
Over under is 51.
Oh, it's 51. Oh, okay. Yeah. Interesting. Interesting. I mean,
My theory on the game will be, like I said, we have a fantastic defense. We proved that, you know, last week. We shut down one of the top receivers in the conference, and Michael Thomas held the league. He's still pretty lethal. Shut him down. Kamara, we contained him for the most part. You can't really stop Alvin Kamara. Because he's so elusive, but we contained him the best we could. So I feel like with Aaron, he can't get the ball downfield, but at the same time, I feel like we got great pass rushers, we got great ball swarming linebackers. Our DBs are pretty good, so I mean, I'm not really worried about it. Mm-hmm. We put 40-something on them in October down here. So, Mo, I think we're going to do it again.
Okay. All right.
I'm curious to see how the Packers' defense goes. I'm curious to see if Tom gets sacked or not. Because, you know, the Packers do have a decent defensive line that can get through.
I mean, we got some young hogs up front that, you know, it's a fence. So, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it's funny because – last week, ladies, I was gonna bet $1,000. I was gonna bet $1,000 on my boys. But the person I wanted to bet, he was running from me.
I guess so. That's a hard one. That's a hard one. No one wants to pay that $1,000. Now that's a lot.
Your boy Dre chiming in. Yes.
Dre. We gotta get back on. We gotta talk the about the Bucks, honey.
The Bucks fan for 2021.
Yeah, we got to get him on talking about those Knicks too. So yeah. I don't know. It's going to be a great matchup. These are two veteran quarterbacks. We love to see the veterans play, just like we love to see when it was Tom and Drew, who sadly announced his retirement after this, which we kind of saw coming. Saints is my second team. He had so many surgeries, so much of injuries. Like, and for him to come back out there like that and just play as best as he could, I had to give him props on that. Jameis Winston.
He got that revenge. Like that.
He got that revenge of throwing deep. That was the best play of the game, by the way. That was it. And I almost to the point where I wanted to tweet, bring Jameis back in. But I knew it was Breeze's final moment. So they had to keep him going. But,
well, it hasn't been. It's not for sure.
It's not for sure?
No, he hasn't. He said he didn't make up his mind at that point. The media was anticipating that this was going to be it. But when they interviewed him at the end of the game, he was like, I'm just going to take some time to think about it. I think we all kind of foresee it probably happening.
Okay.
But he didn't make it official.
So he didn't officially announce like
he didn't do a Rivers. He didn't pull a Rivers.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Rivers, we knew that was coming too.
See, ladies, here's the thing. Last week with the Saints, that made my heart smile because out of the whole division, I hate the Saints the most.
What?
Yes. And I'm going to tell you why. It runs deep with me.
Okay.
Atlanta, they're cool. When I go to Atlanta for the games, they show a Florida boy love. It's all good. New Orleans, their fans are very, very disrespectful. When they come down here, they sing that stupid song. And there's just so the who
what
that.
The who that think they going to beat them Saints? Who that there think they going to beat them Saints?
So when we sent Drew Brees packing to retirement. It felt great. We shut all their stars up. Cam Jordan couldn't say anything. He didn't even touch Tom not one time. You know, all the Michael Thomas, his nicknames can't guard Mike. He's gonna have to change his Twitter handle because apparently you can guard Mike. And then you know what I'm saying? So it made me smile because it's like, hey Drew, you're a legend. But it's a new day. And
I understand.
Yeah, but it is.
In the same token, I do that's why the win felt so great because we do respect the Saints because they've been a great team for the last 4 years. Mm-hmm. So for us to finally get over that hump, it meant a lot to Bucks fans. That's why we celebrated so hard, you know.
You got Tom Brady. I don't think it was much of a hunt. Sorry. I feel the same way when Denver got freaking Peyton Manning. That's not a stretch. You got Tom Brady. Like, stop it. It's not like you had to build him. And to a lot of people, they thought the Bucks weren't going to go playoffs. And I knew that they would. I said, he's going to turn it on. He's got to click with his team and figure it out. Yeah, they're going through some losses, but I'm not worried about them. Not the least bit because of who you got.
I mean, ladies, you got to think about it like this. For us to get everything clicking in the right time, for us to not have a preseason.
Who's that, Dre?
Yeah. Dre said the only mic that can't be guarded is Jordan.
For us to not have a preseason, for us to not really have a training camp like that, and for us to turn it around in December, because as y'all know, if you really want to do something, you got to get clicking in December.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, like I said, one game at a time, and we'll see what happens Sunday.
Okay. I mean, I can't be mad at that. I mean,
and for the little Jameis thing, look, they had to come do some trickery because nothing else was working for them. Mm-hmm. So that was like a little cheap shot. I'm like, okay, y'all want to get disrespectful. And then Jameis with
who hadn't played all season, mind you. Right. He's played the whole season.
And he's not going to play next season over there. If Jameis is a starting quarterback for the Saints, we're going right back to the win.
No, I think it's going to be Taysom. What's his name? Taysom. Yeah, I think it's going to be Taysom Hill for sure.
I don't know.
Possibly.
If he's like an all-season quarterback, though. That's a.
They won. They won games with him.
But it's
when
their.
Drew was gone. They went. They won. And they had a line.
They have a system in place, so pretty much anybody can go in there and, you know, keep the engine running. Don't crash the car until dad gets back. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Can they do it on their own without dad? You know what I mean? Can they get on that and do it on their own? I think before, I you know,
I mean, they got Sean Payton still as their head coach, who's a mastermind at whatever it is. So it just depends on what the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. I think they need some more players, especially on defense. But, I mean, for the most part, they could probably still do it just fine.
You know what else is so funny? What's going on with the Saints is they're gonna go in salary cap hell. They don't have really any money to spend. A lot of their defense was in draft class of 2017, which they have a stellar defense. I can't take that away from them. But a lot of those guys are getting ready to hit free agent market. So a lot of people aren't coming back. Some people may not be there. Michael Thomas is up for a new deal. There were rumblings about him and Sean Payton fell out. Mm-hmm. So the Saints are getting ready to be dismantled.
Mm-hmm. We shall see on that. I need my Saints fans to chime in. Where are my Saints fans at? Who that nation?
Or we need to hear from the Packers fans. Like, because, you know, I mean, here's the deal. I know, like, my mom, she's been trying to not have Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady winning these games. She's been rooting for whoever they play. So I'm not even sure who to go for or what she's going to do at this point because she doesn't care for Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady. So it's kind of like, you know, is there a lesser of two evils for some people that are just tired of it? But, you know, I think I don't even know who I want to pick.
I have a bitter agenda towards Tampa Bay. I don't like you guys for what you did to us in 2002. You know, let's be clear. But the thing of it is we brought that on ourselves. I'll be real with it. We brought it on ourselves. It happened. I have to move forward from it. But at the end of the day, I mean, I don't know what to make of this matchup. This is the greatest. This is like one of the best NFC conferences I've ever seen, like in a long time, to see that kind of a matchup. And so I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to even on the AFC side. I don't want Kansas City to win. They're saying Pat Mahomes has a pinched nerve. I don't know if he's going to play on Sunday. His fiance tweeted on Twitter that he's fine. He's going to be ready. I don't see him not playing him. And I don't know. I really don't know. But for the Bills, who have the number two defense in the league, they're going to be problematic. You can't count Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen out. No way.
Not at all.
Not at all. Absolutely. And so if they can neutralize Kelce, they'll be okay. And I think they could get stops off of him, hopefully. I mean, that's a big dude, too. I don't know. It's a great matchup. It sure is.
The thing is, it's going to be Keon Patrick Mahomes. I mean, we saw Chad Henne go in there and help this team out. You know, anything is possible. Everybody was tweeting about it when they went. But he can't do it by him. He's not going to win an NFC champ or AFC championship by himself. Like, that's just not going to happen. Patrick Mahomes today, I believe, was told that he was on like light duty. I think there's a 5-step protocol for the concussion. Right. So he's like on step 3. If he can get through the next 4 and 5 steps, get clear, and they get cleared by the an impartial doctor, then he's good to go. But
he's gonna play,
but it's like there could be a setback. What if there's a setback? Then what happens?
Yeah. Well, you got Henne and you got Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid. I'm sorry. Did you see that last play of the game? You got to give Bieniemy credit for this. He's the one that is a master science. He's playing. I agree, Dre. Pat Mahomes is too many commercials. He's playing. He's gonna be there Sunday. I'm sorry. That's my theory.
They're gonna get all the money out of that one.
There's no way he's not gonna play. Yeah, he's playing. I agree. You know, if you're on day 3 of protocols and you got 4 or 5, it's only Wednesday. Oh yeah, he playing by Sunday. Yeah. But with Eric Bieniemy, who's genius, I don't know where he's going to go for a coaching job. I don't know what type of job he wants to take. He needs one. I don't like Urban Meyer going to Duval. I didn't even get a chance to talk to you about the Jacksonville thing because I feel like he is past the time that he should have gone. When he won in college, what was that, 2017? When they won a championship? Not Jacksonville. Ohio State. So
yeah, 15.
That should have been 15. Okay. So that's when he should have jumped ship and said, let me try my hand in the pro ball. Let me be like Jimmy Johnson, be all like all these other guys. But I digress. Eric Bieniemy is a master scientist. They say Andy Reid stays up till 3 and 4 in the morning coming up with plays. He's up all night trying to think of never clever plays to make it work in any game situation. He's up all night doing this. So when you're that committed, I can't count the Chiefs out against any of those teams that are coming from the NFC. It's just a matter of skill on skill and who's going to outcoach who.
As far as the enemy goes, I think it's a tragedy that this man doesn't have a job. I mean, this is a ridiculous year.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
And I mean, I don't think there's any other vacant head coach positions now. I think they all got filled, correct?
They did.
It's just not now, but he was definitely in the early runnings.
I'm so
sick of him saying, oh, he can't interview well. I mean, damn, like, are you giving him like opportunity to like,
and what interview? Loaded questions are you asking in the That's interview?
And what does the interview have to do with how you conduct and play and coach on the field? Like, I don't care. Absolutely. I mean, let me see how you're winning on the field.
That's it's not even an interview. I feel like it's a vet. Like, they're vetting this guy, and for some odd reason, they just don't like him. And I don't know why.
I don't know if he's burned a brick. I don't know.
I don't know either. I feel like he hasn't, though.
It's exactly. I kind of like, I know we're talking about football, but I kind of like, that's parallel to me with Mark Jackson in the NBA. It's just like, he can't get a job either. It's just like,
well, you know why he can't get a job. You know why he can't get a job. I already know. You know why he can't get a job. That Rainbow Club is very deep and they got deep pockets, and you say things that's caustic to it, it's a no-go, sadly, you know.
I mean, he's making great money doing the finals.
He is, and he's got his church in LA and all of that, and he's very on that. So, he's got a big church. I mean, that was part of the reason too. Like, he has a big church in Southern California. They're up in the Bay. That was conflicting with him trying to coach and do the church and all of that. And then he was kind of preaching what he needed to do personally to the team. Like, it just doesn't fly when Golden State has a GM and president of operations who's Team Rainbow. You just can't do that. Yeah. And so with that kind of caustic mistake, sadly, it's not getting him back into that pit. But Eric Bieniemy, there's no reason. There's no excuse as to why he does not have a job. He could have gone to Duval and done wonders with that team.
And I mean, the Lions and the Chargers just hired two new head coaches, too. And we're talking the Rams defensive coordinators now.
Right.
Who are these guys?
I don't even know who that was. I didn't even know.
Here's the deal. They probably interview well, right? Like,
oh, I mean,
yeah. They're wearing the white colors. I'll just say that.
You guys know it's crazy. The Houston job would have been great for him because, you know, Deshaun and
it would have kept Deshaun there. It probably would have had him stay, you know, possibly.
Let's talk about this and Deshaun, because Deshaun now is basically saying he wants out and he wants to go. So do you think this move is happening? And it sounds like he's kind of, I can't remember who tweeted it, but one of the players that tweeted, like, this is something that we all dream of, having our own power to be able to control our own destiny in the game. And, you know, with them not bringing Eric in for interviews and getting him as a head coach, like, where do you see, like, Deshaun possibly going?
I see him going to New England, honestly. Oh. I want New England to take him. That's what I want to have him. That would be stellar. He deserves to be in New England with that. With the Belichick and rebuilding a team, and he has a run game like Noah. Like, he deserves to be in New England. I said this to a conversation to a friend of mine. Like, he should go to New England.
They're gonna need some targets for him.
They're gonna need targets, but they can get them. They can recruit them. But Cam's not gonna be back. That's for sure. Why not replace him with Deshaun?
Yeah, I agree. Deshaun is very talented quarterback. Yeah. I wish we can get him down here when Tom leaves. But I know he'll be long gone off the market by then. But do I feel like he's going to leave? I mean, we'll see it, you know, because you guys know when you want to trade, the other team has to accept, and then they're going to want compensation.
Right.
Just like, I don't know.
Well, your boy just chimed in on that one too, Dre, and Patriots got nothing to offer.
they really don't because they broke it up. I mean, they really don't. Edelman is on the other side. I mean, they really don't. But at the end of the day, if they can draft better with having him on the roster, I just don't know.
I don't know where Deshaun can go. I thought about maybe Jacksonville, but they're probably going to go young and draft somebody. I don't know who needs a quarterback right now.
Colts do. Colts need a quarterback.
Same division, yeah.
Yeah, Colts. Niners or Jets. Ooh, Jets got a new coach too. I wouldn't dare.
I think when you go to the Jets, ladies, that's like the bottomless pit of your career. Like, you're
done. Heck yeah. Even Trevor Lawrence didn't want to go, and he was expected to be drafted. He was trying to pull up Eli Manning, talking about how can I get out of this situation. Exactly. Like, he's not trying to even go there. You know what
I mean? Don't even get me started on the Jets, because you know Seattle had a discussion with Adam Gase for the offensive coordinator position.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Y'all did.
Didn't hear nothing, so I'm hoping it just washed. And hopefully he didn't interview well and then slept under the table.
Yeah. Well, at least y'all entertained it, you know? I don't know anybody else that is, but we'll see.
Well, we're still looking. They've already, I think, interviewed like two or three guys. I don't know. I know that Russell wants to be in on the discussion, so...
As he should.
Yeah, they paid him so much money. He needs to have a seat at the table.
Yeah, because we're gonna need him to be working this next year. Ain't gonna be no.
Well,
just,
he needs to get his money. He needs to.
We need all 17 weeks. We need all 17 weeks. You know, all 16. Yeah. We're not gonna do no 10 and 5. We got to get hard all 17.
No, I wish y'all luck on that.
You know, it's crazy. It's like when the Seahawks. I've been impressed for them to kind of turn. I know how the season ended, but. For them to have success after, you know, the team was predicated on defense, the LOB, and for them to, like, cater to the, you know, kind of, like, tailor the team towards offense and get a stud in DK, which is that was a steal. I wish we would have drafted him.
Listen, I was watching him all draft day. I was ready for it. I was ready.
And, you know, now is Russ's team now, you know, and he played great. I thought he was going to win the MVP like towards early midseason.
Right. Well, we all did, and then it just fell apart. You
and
know,
then Aaron Rodgers week just seven ended. Happened, and it right. was like.
And by the way, Aaron Rodgers is getting the MVP, regardless of the outcome of this whole thing. No question. He can't, you know, it has to be him. It really does. He's proved himself. Now, what's up with Melvin Gordon, though, coming from the Seahawks? He's in a little bit of trouble. He's not even welcome back.
Huh? Didn't he?
Yeah, they suspended him again for substance abuse.
Not Melvin Gordon.
Josh Gordon. I knew it was a Gordon. It could have been Gordon from Sesame Street. Whatever Gordon.
You're making me think, like, wait a minute. Josh Gordon.
I think
Josh, I was just telling my uncle this like the other day. I think Josh has got like 100 chances. And you know what I'm saying? And it's just like, come on, man, for Seattle to take you in and them. And well, hell, all of the organizations were very patient with him. Because before Seattle, it was New England. They were patient.
Yeah.
And it's just like, man, do you understand the opportunity that you have? Like, not too many people can say they made it to the league. And for you to, and I'm not taking lightly fighting your demons, because I know that's something very serious. But what I'm saying is, it's just like, you gotta want to change. You can't just play with it like that. If you want to be serious and focus, get your mind on football, do that. But you can't have your feet in both. It's not gonna never work. And obviously, we're seeing now, you know, why it's not working. I think Josh got too many chances. I think now he should just think about what he's going to do in the future. Maybe he can stay around the game and go into coaching or something. But as far as playing, I don't know.
I feel like the story has more to it that we still don't know, because if you've noticed, even when people talk about the situation, no one's actually said, here's what happened to make him lose it again. To lose his ability to play again. It's always been like, well, we probably think it has to do with the drugs, or it could be, but no one's been able to just say, hey, he tested positive. But then I feel personally that it's got to be more than just the marijuana, whatever he was getting buzzed for.
It's definitely.
But I think it's also like, clearly he doesn't have the right people still in his corner. No. Like, if you were locked down and had the right people with you, no matter what, I mean, look at Delonte West. He got someone in the right position for him to help him out. This man went through rehab, got a job with the facility that he was at, and now it's turning his life around.
You got to want to help it. And
you got to hit rock bottom, too, and I guess he just hasn't hit the rock bottom. But it's definitely
like
about
a death in the family. Did he lose a brother or something? Like, is there certain things that happened to him
I think so. But, I mean, it's unfortunate because Josh is – so talented.
He is super talented.
I've been waiting for him to return all year. I had bought a hoodie off of his line. I was ready for the comeback game on like week 16. I was ready, and then the news hit, and I was like, "What?" Like,
actually, he was DK before DK,
right?
As far as build, you know, people saying he was like Megatron 2.0. You know,
he was that hybrid. He was like the hybrid of the next DK in between.
The big, you know, the big, you know, he was big. Physical,
yeah,
fast. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just unfortunate. You know, some guys.
It's a sad scene. Very. It's too bad. It really is. Well, hopefully he'll get right. He has to. Yeah. I don't know. I have a question for you, Guru. So, if Tom Brady were to win the Super Bowl, do you think he's retiring after that season with the seventh ring?
I mean, knowing Tom, like he loves the game, he'll probably come back and finish the contract. Because we got a bunch of dead money if he doesn't, but because we owe him $50 million for 2 years, so I don't know. I think he said in local news here, he's like he's not leaving Tampa. He came down here, he fell in love with it, so he's gonna stay here. But I don't think he'll walk away from the game. I think he'll still come back for the second year. We'll draft a guy and he'll be that mentor to the young guy, so hopefully. But if he does leave, Tom, you came here, you gave us a chip, and we finally can say who was the better out of that marriage between Belichick and Brady. But we're gonna wait to that actually.
I was gonna say he gave you a chip. Hold up.
I like the presumptuousness. I just was letting it flow. Go for it. So how many Lombardi trophies would that be? Would that be going on, what, two or three? Where are y'all at?
What, for the whole franchise?
Yeah. How many y'all got? It'd be two. Oh, so you just had the one. Like Seahawks. Yeah. You just had the one. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's it. But we beat your team to get that one.
That's all right. We got three.
But you like 20 years older than me, so it don't matter.
And you know, that's a crazy problem with the Seahawks fans. They get one Super Bowl win, missed opportunity on the second one. They don't know how to act. They don't know how to act.
And there was like a third in there that we missed.
But we never even talk Seahawks. It was never a time until Russell Wilson came and Legion of Boom got Marshawn Lynch and all these people. They won a Super Bowl. No, now you hear from all over.
The Seahawks back in early 2000s. We were up against the Steelers. I mean, we lost Super Bowl then. I'm just saying we've had three Super Bowl appearances in two decades. Well,
the Seahawks. I remember the Sean Alexander years. They had
Matt Hasselbeck.
Yeah, you know they had some.
They did. I'm not disputing that they didn't. It just was never a talk. You hear me? Until these Pacific Northwesterners try to come into my city, and it's all about Seahawks. After winning one Super Bowl in I don't know how long it took. And then you just, you know, and me working for Nordstrom, you know, the Nordstrom brothers used to own the Seahawks back in the day. You know, it just never stopped. You know what I mean? It's like, who are you guys? Like, we just
let the Raiders win. Let the Raiders win a division. And then, you know, it's like a national historic.
You know, it will be because it'll be Las Vegas Raiders, first of all. So it's a new franchise. So it definitely will be a holiday because it's Las Vegas Raiders, not Oakland, not LA. You doggone right.
I got so much respect for the Raiders and that whole franchise. Al Davis. You know, just the innovator he was.
Oh, I mean, he hired the first black quarterback, if you will. Second opportunity with Art Shell.
Right.
And having a black woman in the GM in the head offices and corporate offices. Yeah. Like, he was the first one to do that for the franchise. And he gave a lot of opportunities. And that's the historical connotation with the Raiders that I love.
And merger from the AFL, then when they converted everything.
Yes. Yes. And
how he went against, because I watched a documentary on that. But I've always loved the Raiders culture, you know, the committed to excellence. I use that model in my personal life to kind of like, you know, I'm committed to excellence. So I've always held the Raiders in high regard. So when we beat them, it was like, man, we slayed the giant. You know?
Sure did. I mean, that battle here of the Pirates was a crucial one. I kind of knew going in that it was like, okay, it's Tom Brady and company. Had it been Jameis or anybody else, I probably would say, okay, the Raiders are going to win this. We try to give it the best we can. And keep in mind, we are one of the two teams that beat Kansas City. Could have beat them a second time. Right. I think our just issues are communication on the field, our coach, for one, and his old school playmaking mentality. Some stuff just ain't right and don't make sense. So hopefully, if he says he's not going to take any of the $100 million until he gets us to where we need to be, I don't know what that means of where we need to be, what level that means. But hopefully, the upcoming season, we got a new, I believe we got a new defensive coordinator. We'll see. And he's from the Chargers. Like, that's going to really help. You know, I just don't understand our organization at times. But hopefully, we'll do something. But Mark Davis, as an owner, purchased the Aces. And so now we have this Raiders Aces connection, and I'm just ecstatic for it because I love my Lady Aces.
Yeah.
So it's going to be big things popping, hopefully, in our city with both of these two teams. And it's like a little merger here.
The Aces are my team. I love the Aces. I have a huge crush on Liz Cambage.
You saw her body spread. I think everybody would be crushing on that. And I think I was envious of having fitness goals after seeing
I love Asia. I love Kayla McBride. I love Kelsey. Kelsey Plum is my favorite player on the
Kelsey
team.
Kelsey Plum's a beast. I like her. She's a UW alum. That's Mel's homegirl. And she is just a beast at it. And she's scrappy. And I miss her on my 2K game. So I need Kelsey to come back so they can update. Because I was winning with her. She is dominant. And I just,
When the season comes back, hopefully, I'm going to come out there and catch a few games. I want to see them live. I love the Aces. I'm not gonna lie, ladies. I just got into the WNBA about a year or so ago.
Well, welcome.
Yeah. So I'm getting ready to order orange WNBA hoodie. So I'm all in support. You know what I'm saying? I love the Aces. Cause Florida, we don't have a team. We used to have the Orlando, I forgot their name. They came down here very brief. But so they got dismantled, so we don't have a team. So when I was kind of watching the game and seeing who I liked, and I kind of took a liking to the Aces. So it's just like,
how can you not, right?
You can't help but like them.
Congratulations to Asia Wilson, because this statue out in front of South Carolina Arena. I mean, talk about
legendary.
And it was like on a campus where she quoted her grandmother couldn't even attend and walk on. So it's very historical and
on MLK Day that they actually had the ceremony.
It was monumental. It was amazing. And I big ups to her. She's already an MVP. Yes. And you can't deny that. And she's just,
Orlando
Miracle.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. But, you know, even if Florida were to bring the team back, Aces, that's my squad. I'm all in. Hashtag all in.
Yes. That's the hashtag.
Now they're contracted still for Mandalay Bay for the next couple of years, so they possibly will be staying there. I don't know where their new home will be. T-Mobile is way too big for that team, sadly. So I'm thinking possibly we have another local casino with an arena, the Orleans, hopefully can house them, or we'll see what that happens with COVID if these properties don't fall apart.
Orleans would be a better place to park.
It would be a better place for parking and local connection. Yeah. I mean, you just get people more central to come that way instead of the Mandalay Bay. But, you know, I can't wait for an Aces season. There's no spectators possibly. You know, our Knights don't have spectators. So, I hope they go to the finals again and win this time. That's all I want. I want them to go to the finals, and I want them to win this time.
See, I don't know. I want to get, like I said, Kelsey Plum is my favorite player. I don't know if I want to get a Plum jersey or a Cambage jersey. I don't know what I want to do yet. I might just get a jersey.
You got to see what's available, because I don't even know if they sell the Cambage like that. You might get
I got a Plum jersey.
I've never seen a Cambage, so I don't know.
I might just customize it like I do my Bucks jersey and just put my name on the back. That's what I might
do. That. That'll be a nice statement. Either way, it's Aces in the front.
Exactly.
We know what it represents. We know what it represents. You're good. You Gucci with it. You're so Gucci with it. So are you watching any basketball at all, Guru?
Yeah. Orlando. I'm a diehard Orlando Magic fan.
Okay, and I got Aaron. I got Aaron Gordon on my fantasy, and he is doing his thing.
Absolutely.
And I can't be mad at him. Yeah. They did get owned the last couple of nights, but hopefully y'all come back. And I have to say, on the MLK game days, big ups to Mel's Chicago Bulls. I mean, Victor Oladipo debuted against Houston, and I mean, the points went over to 240 or something, like 245.
Yeah, crazy game. These guys have been coming out. I mean,
well, it's been coming out and coming so close and yes. not winning. And
I mean, their record of 6-8 doesn't show how great they've been compared to previous seasons of the Bulls. Like, I'm impressed. I'm really impressed.
Wendell Carter Jr. actually had a great game. He never really shows up. I'm sorry, your center sometimes is trash, but he actually showed up this game.
He showed up.
And so he showed up this game. Thaddeus Young showed up this game. Kobe White did his thing. Zach LaVine balled out as usual, 38
points. You see that footage of Kobe White shooting after the game? He had a whole Kobe moment. Like, he was in the arena still taking shots at post game in his uniform. Just,
I mean,
I like marketing too.
Oh, yeah. Marketing, he scored a lot too. I mean, he's one of the starters. He actually did really good. I mean, they all were doing double digits in that first starting lineup. If you look at Houston, Houston was no slouch either. Victor Oladipo had over 30 points that game. And shout out to Christian Wood as their center, former UNLV guy. He balled out. I mean, it was a great competitive game. It really was. And I was happy for the Bulls to see them come out on top because they honestly came very close to beating us with no AD and no KCP. Yeah. And they came very close to beating the Golden State team. So they're like right there. So I'm very curious to see how their season is going to look. I'm excited for that. My Lakers lost. I mean, we lost.
Yeah, that was the.
Hey, we deserved it. You don't go up 19 points.
19 points. I mean,
again, lack of communication on the second half. KCP, where were you? You scored 4 points that game. What the heck? You pay 20 some minutes and you only score 4 points. Like, what the heck is going on? When LeBron yells at you on the court, if I pass the ball and it's a buzzer, you need to take the shot. Take the shot.
Exactly.
Take the shot. And Kuz, you know, I love Kuz. Kuz did great, but his 3-point shot is never too much in the corner. And he was trying to really force some corner threes, even when he was open. Just wasn't working. LeBron traveled. They caught him on the traveling. We had tons of turnovers. I mean, it was just one of those games that, hey, it was my mom's birthday that day. You got your birthday present, Ma. Golden State won. I can't be mad at it. MLK, it is what it is.
Mo, I thought they were going to move Kuz before they gave him a contract.
A lot of people thought Kuz was going to leave, and he didn't. And I was kind of shocked that he's still with us. But to his credit, he is actually better this season than last season. I think he finally got the wake-up call and realizing where he's at and what he needs to do. So he's actually been stepping up quite a bit. And not to mention, Trezor Harrell has been dominating for us too on our rebounds. When Marc Gasol is not in, he's been doing really good. And I have him on my NBA fantasy too. I'm playing this girl named LeBron James and I'm trying to kick her butt. So hopefully Aaron Gordon and all of them, well, because she got a stellar little lineup. But hopefully, with having Aaron Gordon, that helps a lot. Because I knew when I chose him, I was like, I like him a lot. I really do. And can we talk about how ballin' Melo is right now for the Hornets?
Yeah.
And he's better than his brother. They were tweeting the other night on that Pelicans game how Lonzo was in the game for 22 minutes and scored like maybe 4 or 5 points. I mean, Twitter went in.
But that's not Zoe's game. Zoe is a facilitator, you know? That's my boy. Like, I like Zoe.
You like him?
I
you
do
really like him.
I did even when he was with y'all.
I did.
But Mo, look, check this out.
People already knew that he was the one that was going to be, I think, the successor in the league. I think
did even, he? Did we? Because I hope
there were
so
there were people that I was looking at. They were like, "Yo, he's going to come in the league and blow it out." Like he's
oh, you're
good.
Talking about Melo. You're talking about Melo, right? Yeah, for sure. Yeah, but Lonzo, no, his dad. jammed him down Magic's throat. See, LeVar is the type of guy, like if Magic's leaving his office in the parking lot and LeVar's waiting at the car. Like, I'm going to jam Lonzo down your throat. This is UCLA. This is that. You jammed him down our throat. He was not productive. He went with that 3-way trade for us to get AD. Sadly, Brandon Ingram had to go with him. I do like B.I., but sadly he had to go with him. But Lonzo, I'm sorry. You are right there in the low post, and you don't take a shot. You don't do a layup. You pass the ball.
That's his game.
That's not a good game. Then that's not contributing. That's not contributing.
Mo, he's a facilitator, but
is he running the point? Is he running the point?
Yeah, I think.
That's not good.
Check this out. A lot of people don't know this. His first year, he was all NBA second rookie. So he has some accolade to him. I don't think the light is dim yet. I think he still has some more developing to do. He's doing better than he did in LA with New Orleans. No, you don't think
you remember the group, the Jackson Five? You remember the Jackson Five, right?
He's a little young.
Do you know the Jackson Five at all?
I've heard of him, of course.
So the most talented brother out of the group was Michael Jackson, right?
Of course.
Okay, so we got the same situation with these three ball brothers. You got Lonzo, you have Jello, who got waived from Detroit, and you got Melo. And shout out to Dre, because he says Melo might be rookie of the year. I can tend to agree with that. I concur with that, because he's that awesome. You have one in that group of siblings that's special.
Yeah.
That's the one we should have got. He was too young at the time, but that's the one that you focus on. Lonzo was a nice little consolation prize, but it ain't enough. It's not enough. You know, Melo is that special one. Can't wait to see what he's going to do.
So let me ask you this, Mo. Are you saying Zoe is a bust?
Yeah, to a degree. I didn't even think he was great in UCLA, to be honest with you. I mean, call me a hater, call me whatever you want. I just don't see it. I just do not see it. I'm sorry. I just don't see it.
But look, though, you know,
ABC 123. ABC 123. Yes, thank you. My driver. Yes, thank you. Yeah.
But
yeah, I don't. I just don't. I'm sorry.
You know, it's a marathon. So
I know. But how long does it take?
Hot and get cold. You know what I'm saying? So he has the consistency.
His younger brother beat the brakes off him when they met up. First game.
Hey.
I'm sorry. We know who the Michael Jackson of this group is. We know.
If he's a bus, he's a rich bus. I just hope
absolutely. I hope he does the right thing with his money and everything. But yeah.
His money. You know, I'm not getting them ugly ass shoes, but
of course not. Who's wearing those? No one's wearing those.
And they for them to charge $495, I'm like, no,
did anybody ever get those? Like, did anybody actually receive the ones they paid for back in the day?
Brandon Sharp said he did.
I can't knock the hustle, because there's uglier shoes out there with Balenciaga written all over them. That's $600 and $700. Yeah. It makes no sense. So I can't be mad at his hustle. The shoes just were cute. They were hot. I'm sorry.
You know what's so funny? Shannon Sharp said he's been waiting almost 2 years for him, and they got and they got a bad review from the Better Business Bureau. They got an F on customer service. Yeah.
That's awful.
And I support Black-owned businesses.
Right.
So I was like, man, I hope this can work. But if you're charging, not like
that. No. Well, you better stick to Off-White and Fear God and those other Black-owned designers, because this ain't working with the Baller Blend. You better do that, because or Yeezys or something, because that's not going to work. Like, it just didn't work out. You know what I mean? It just did not work out.
I love Jordans. I'm not paying $500 freaking.
No, I get you. I love the Jordans. And shout out to the Jordan Dior ones.
Whoa!
Yeah, those are nice.
Mina's husband was wearing, that's Kamala Harris's niece, Mina. Yes. Her husband had the Jordan ones, Dior edition.
And
the mids. One of them was wearing the mids for the women. I loved it. Like, the secret game is real. And I feel you on that Jordan thing, because I collect Jordans from time to time. I just don't feel like chasing the dragon too often on certain ones.
See,
yeah, I didn't have Dior money for those. I'm not going to.
I entered that raffle. I thought I was going to get picked at Crystals. It did not happen. It was not meant to be. Save me some money.
Same thing with me, but I'm an OG Jordan collector. So I don't I don't chase the colorways. I just get like the OG Jordans, and then they're a little bit more pricier, but I like.
What's your favorite series? What's your favorite series out of them? Do you like the ones, the threes, the fours? Like, I'm a ones, a four. I do one pair of fives. I have. I do a couple retro twos, but I'm mostly 11s. I love 11s. Mm. I can't go past 11s with 13s and
11s. I'm 1-3-5 mainly with a four, I think, or two.
Yeah, I like the fours too. Yeah.
For me, ones, the sole is too thin, so they hurt my feet after a while.
So and I don't like Jordan's feet bleed, so I get it.
I don't like ones. For me, three, fours, 11. That's it.
And that's it. Yeah. And I love the 11s. Like, I have a pair of Gammas, Guru, I have never even worn yet. I sit in line for those joints, and I
just got the Jubilee ones, but I only got them because I needed an 11 so I can do it. I want to do an official Jordan wall clock where I use a shoe all the numbers.
Oh, yeah, that'll
be cool. I gotta have an 11, just like eventually I'll have to get an 8 and a 9, which I hate 8, 9, 10. Like, I just
And you gotta get you a 12 too. You gotta get them 12. Yeah,
I know,
yeah,
I know.
I still have my Space Jams that they're still on ice.
What year Space Jams though? The latest ones, the last Christmas ones?
Yeah, the 2016. Okay. With the new soul at the bottom, the clear.
Yeah.
Concord with the buzz. The
Concord. Yeah.
You know,
I only got the Concord Lowe's. I didn't get the. I still don't own a pair of Space Jams. That's like my chasing the dragon type of shoe, sought after unicorn that I want, and I can't get it. I can't even get Bred ones. Like I want those too, and I can't even get those. Like I just stopped chasing the dragon. It's so hard, you know. These kids with their bots and
look on StockX, bro.
I'm not paying StockX money. I'll pay StockX money on some Maxes or some Blazer high tops or some low.
You just gotta have that Jordan app news feed going on, so you when you hit that news feed, it just be like popping up like, oh, they're available over here. They're available over there.
No, every raffle I enter, I don't, Melissa.
Whenever like Finish Line or any sports store gets a new order in, they'll put it through the Jordan app and then they'll send you like a notification on your phone.
Yeah,
like,
I do all that. I do all of that you talking and I still don't get the hit because these kids and their bots and whatever else they got going on has manipulated the system for me, an old lady, to get my sneakers. Now, sometimes, occasionally, like a package will show up and my brother comes up on a coup and I'm just like, oh, you got those? Oh, nice. You didn't tell me you was getting them. You know, so I miss out on that kind of thing. I even have a nephew. Do you hear me? I have a nephew that works for Foot Locker. I can't get shoes from him either.
Dang.
So he'll try to get me shoes, but he has siblings and he has a dad who's my brother. Of course I'm competing with all of them. That's tough. I can't do that. You know?
Yeah.
So it's just it's a tough little chase for me. I love sneakers, but I love all styles of sneakers. So I don't discriminate. I do keep some of the Jordans as passion, but I also like my Maxes, my Blazer.
Yeah.
I like my Blazer lows. I like my Blazer highs. I have some off-whites. I have, you know, other little, the Y3s, the Raf Simmons, you know, I'm all into different kinds of sneakers.
Let me
but the Jordans is always classic for me.
Let's share something with y'all. So I got the threes, the free throw line threes, right? With the ones he wore in the dunk contest with the elephant. And I don't want to wear them. I don't think I'm going to.
Don't. Leave them dead. Leave them dead. Don't wear them.
If you look at the bottom of them, they have a red line, and that's where he jumped from.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then in the
tongue, it's the score. So
yeah, like, don't do it. See, the shoes like that, you have to be balling enough to buy two pairs, one to wear, one to keep up. You got to keep that dead stock, honey. Don't open.
I had my Concords on ice, but my cousin had asked me to be the photographer. I'm a photographer. I have a business.
Right.
So I was a photographer at his wedding. So I was like, cuz you get married, I'll break out the Concourse because we were off the yacht. And I was like walking, watching where I was walking. Man, I got on my shoes. But I don't really like wearing them, like, you know, unless it's a special occasion, especially the shoes that mean a lot. You know what I'm saying? Because like,
yeah.
You have them on your feet, people are like, damn, where'd you get those? But my favorite Nikes are the Scottie Pippins, the Air More Up Tempos. Those are my favorite.
You like the Air Up Tempos, huh?
Yes.
Do you like the Westbrooks? I kind of like the Westbrooks now. And I kind of like the Kyries. Like one series of Kyries I kind of like too. Like there was ones that came out like in a purple and black I kind of liked.
Kyrie has ugly shoes. I don't like Kyrie.
I like his ones that he has years back.
Speaking of Kyrie came back today and they lost in double overtime.
Oh, they did against the Sixers? Did they play? They played the Cavs.
You know, Cavs had given Kyrie a whole like video montage of him.
Oh, yeah,
being
he showed
there.
His ring finger.
Right.
His arm. Yeah.
But so you got KD, Harden, and Kyrie's back and you lose.
We knew that was going to happen.
Double overtime.
Yeah, we knew that was going to happen. Yeah. It's too many balls, hogs on the court. We knew that was going to happen. It slows up offense, and who's going to score? You got to divvy up the scoring now.
It's too much. I was just checking on scores. We were talking because our Vegas Golden Knights are playing today. We're 3-0. Hockey is back. You guys, you be doing the hockey out there? The hockey?
I mean, the Lightning, they were successful. Well, they just won a championship.
Right.
I'm not really into hockey. You know what I'm saying? It feels great when
it's got to grow on you. Got to grow on you.
Well, the sports book has the Lightning as the odds to go back to the Stanley Cup. I think they're like in third or fourth place. It's Colorado Avalanche. Everybody's saying that'll be the number one contender. Then the Knights are like number three.
So, yeah, but we're up right now 2-0 against the Coyotes. We actually have four games straight with the Coyotes, which has like never been done before without being in a playoff situation. So they've got four straight. They go on their first road game to Arizona. But here's the deal. We still can't have fans here in Vegas. But in Arizona, they're selling tickets. So if anyone wants to go to a Vegas Golden Knight game, hop on the plane or drive down to Arizona because they will be there on Friday.
Who's goalie tonight? Fleury or
I'm not sure if it's Leonard or not. Leonard played Leonard last time.
Well, they've been rotating him. Flowers was on the second game.
Yeah, which I think this is makes it such a this is a reason why. What?
How far are y'all from Arizona?
About three and a half, four-hour drive.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's not
Phoenix
bad.
Suns tickets went up, Fleury so playing. I missed my window on that.
Fleury is playing, but this is the key reason why it's so great now that we have two great goalies, because when we're playing the same team four times straight, you've got to keep on rotating that matchup and keep rotating your line.
Absolutely.
You can't have them knowing how you're playing. This is pretty much like a playoff series almost, having to play four games straight with the same team. That's a lot.
I'll take the 3-0 though right now. I'm all about it. Sure, that's my born and raised Vegas team, so I'm all about the Knights. Let's go Knights.
I'm going to try and wrap this up only because, I mean, we could talk all day, y'all, but we've already been over an hour, 15 minutes. I know it's getting late over there for Guru and stuff. Guru, we've appreciated you, but I did want to mention a couple. I've got UFC this weekend. McGregor
Fight Island, right? Is it Fight Island this week? Yeah.
No, Fight Island was today, I think.
Was it today at Fight Island?
I don't know. I can't keep up. All I saw was McGregor. I was like, wait. And I keep on seeing his post, you know, the stuff about him coming back. And
yeah, after he said he was retiring. Yeah.
That's how it goes. But, of course, girl power. Sarah Thomas is going to be one of the first NFL referee officiators to be in the Super Bowl. That's going to be so major. I cannot wait. And also for LA Sparks, Sheenie, I can never say their last name right, Ogumike. Because she's doing ESPN sports documentary on the WNBA's 2020 season. She that sure is.
That, I can't wait to watch that. And that Tiger Woods documentary, by the way, if anybody's watching that, the final episode was part two, and it was amazing.
It was
Guru,
good.
You got to tap into that. You may not be able
to watch. Was he part of it? Was he in on the documentary, or was it?
See, that's what my question is, because they didn't personally interview him. But I'm sure they got approval from him to do it.
I don't know. But see, some of those people that were talking, except for like the guy that was the family friend who had, he was like, he had their backs.
Who got fired?
All those women and stuff, not the golfer, not the caddy, but the other guy, the black guy that was like the family friend. He was always talking about
Earl's
Tiger.
Friend.
Yeah. But all the women on there were only there for one reason, because they got burned, dissed, or dropped by Tiger.
Well, they thought he was the only one. He sold them such a
But even his best friend, his best friend's talking smack, or supposed best friend, but because he basically ghosted you at some point, you now are out here talking in his business.
Like, but the thing of it is Tiger's got issues. He's got major issues, and he didn't go to the necessary therapist after his dad and all of that. Mm-hmm. His upbringing was crazy. He had a tiger mom for one, and then his dad was a tiger dad. Like, he had no social interactions with people whatsoever, and the few social interactions he had, I mean, an ex-girlfriend still holds on to a letter from the 90s.
And has
a
video still of you dancing in your house?
I mean, it's Tiger Woods. I guess you thought you saw it coming that he was going to be famous and he kept it anyway. I don't know. But he has a lot of issues. And the sad thing is, when he said the term compartmentalize your feelings, that's danger zone. Because you're not releasing your feelings or any kind of thing to express how you really feel. You take it out on vices. And I'm sorry, but Charles Barkley and Michael Jordan are enablers. They were not the right click for you to be with in Vegas or any
Especially
type of
at that age.
It's just their lifestyle was totally a different level than his. And to introduce him into something like that, it just was caustic. And
they had been in that life
a lot of issues.
For so long.
Exactly. And they've been in that life. They've been doing that dirt and doing what they do. So it was just crazy to see how this man just came on a fall of grace. But what I thought was very interesting was how the one guy from Augusta was like, I'm ashamed. I'm appalled. I
can't believe he did Augusta this. Masters
yes, and I can't believe he's just disappointed us all and all of this stuff. And so the thing of it is with Tiger Woods and being a black golfer, a Kablazian or whatever he wants to call himself, you have people that are just riding the wave off of a hype of being entertained. Once you disappoint them, entertained, they feel like they're taking it personally. It's none of your business. He's out there. Let him golf and do his thing. You didn't have to say all of that. You did not have to do that. He was going to go.
You know the best part of that interview too. The best part of that the best part of that documentary was Brian Gumbel. Like he could have done the whole thing himself, and I would have been listening to it like perfectly. Like,
well, that was the best thing I had to agree with Brian Gumbel on. I usually don't agree with Brian Gumbel on a lot of things, but his show on HBO is good. But that little statement he made, it was an interesting point because it's a race-related type of situation.
And it's Augusta, Georgia. Like, come on.
Well, the history of it is that you don't need to say nothing. It's none of your business. Like, first and foremost.
He didn't have to say anything.
It wasn't necessary. But that's how they do. And so that's kind of crazy to me. But the fact that this man went through all of that, all the surgeries, out for a year, not able to walk, to come back, and win another Masters, and that's excellent.
Yeah,
that is just the and the fact that he said in his documentary that what changed me was I had to love playing golf. It didn't come off.
And you saw his face change. You saw how he was enjoying it.
Yes, all of it because he got back into the love of the game. And when you love something that you do, you're going to be very great at it. And that's anything. Yep. Yeah. So it was just an amazing documentary. I suggest everybody checking it out. It's on HBO Max. Shout out to my guy, Chris Scott, who's also doing a documentary. He did one on the Action Park. I want everybody to check that out. I'm just going to plug him real quick. And there's going to be a lot. And even Under the Grapefruit Tree with CeCe Sabathia. That was a great documentary.
That was like,
check out these documentaries on some of these guys because they have a lot of struggles that we didn't realize we had. They had and the adversity and the overcoming of that and just living to tell the tale. It's just incredible and amazing. So shout out to those guys.
Ladies, before we wrap up, I do want to thank y'all for being on my panel last year.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So I want to tell y'all thank you. I know I said it private, but publicly, I want to say thank y'all for helping me, you know, be a part of that. And I'm going to do it again. So I definitely have y'all back. You know what I'm saying? So be on the lookout for that part two.
Okay. We ready
Thank
for
you.
It.
We ready.
Guru,
good
where
luck
can...
on Sunday.
Yeah, good luck on Sunday. Although I'm still undecided on who I really want to win. But where can people find you and when is your podcast usually on in daytime, whatever?
You can find me on Twitter at Guru 813. 813, that's Tampa's area code. IG, Guru Speaks Podcast. I'm just around, you know what I'm saying? You can tap in. I love to work with everybody. You know what I'm saying? I ain't hard to find, like Pop.
Now, is that community group page? Is that you?
Yes.
Podcasters, talk about that real quick before we go.
Shout out to my team, Shit Division Media, Big Mike, Claude. Those are my business partners. Us three, we're the production team of the whole network. We got like maybe 14 shows of podcasts that we, you know, produce and edit. So that group, our network, we're sponsoring that. So I'm one of the three admins. So we're just the it's called Creative Interface. So we're having like all podcasters from all over the world come in this one group, one room fellowship. And we, you know, you share your content. One person might be from Vegas. One person may be from Atlanta. And, you know, we come as a collective and share. Nobody's trying to be competitive. We're all one unified group. We want to just see each other win and get to the next level. So that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Excellent. And I love it. And thank you for the invite of having us be a part of that.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yes, definitely. Now, Mel, we did do pick'ems last week. So who won that?
We did. And you did because I picked the Browns.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was riding deep with the Brownies.
Shout out to my Brownie fans. You know, they're not answering my texts or calls, and I understand it's a devastating little blow, but you gotta pat yourselves on the back for getting as far as
man,
you did.
They
no
did.
One
they
saw
had
that
a great
coming.
Season.
They had
really
a really
had
good
a
season,
season,
and I have to give them props on that. And we just know what the future holds for Baker and company, and hopefully the team doesn't break up. I still don't like Baker Mayfield, but he definitely I don't like him. But he turned a corner. I don't see it either. I agree with you. Like, no one likes Baker. We're okay with him. Whatever. You know. But it is what it is. Props to the Browns for doing that. But you have to be on the spot now, Mel, to pick for this Sunday. We have to pick for our audience.
Yes. I'll go with the Bucks because minus the expats. And I'm also gonna roll. I kind of want to roll with the Bills just because.
Yeah, that's a good one.
What about you guys?
I'm gonna do Bills. And I'm sorry, Guru. I'm just gonna roll with my man Aaron Rodgers. He's so fine. I'm sorry. I'm just seeing these commercials. I just want my theory to be true. I honestly had already predicated early on in the season that we were going to see a Bills and KC divisional playoff. I had already called that. But I didn't know what was going to happen in the NFC. And now that we're here, I just feel like it's Aaron Rodgers' year. Plus, I got a friend that's from Milwaukee. He can't stop talking about it. And I got another colleague that's a big Green Bay Packers fan. And I've already had to eat crow once wearing Green Bay stuff one day. I just want to make sure that I don't go against them this time and have to lose a bet. So I'm just going to say Green Bay. And I would love to see the Bills go because I don't like the Chiefs. They're in my division. Why would I want them to go to a Super Bowl? Who wants that?
You know? What you got?
So, you know, 813, baby. I'm going with the home team.
Okay.
We're gonna be the first team to make history that play a Super Bowl. We're gonna host
the Super Bowl. Host and win. That would be huge. I would love to see that show though, honestly. I can't be mad at that.
I don't drink, but I said the next time I'm gonna drink is when my Bucks make it to and win a Super Bowl. So when they make it, I got a drink for the first time in 6 years.
Be careful. Please be careful. Don't get crazy. Don't get behind the wheel either. Just take a little sip. I don't want it to trigger nothing now, Guru.
Just a shot. That's it.
Falling off a wagon here.
And pick the Bills.
Bills? Okay.
Okay.
So we'll talk about those results next week. And again, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And everybody else, we will check you again next Wednesday, same time, same channel. Make sure to share, follow, subscribe. We love y'all.
Yes.
And we'll catch y'all later.
Happy Inauguration Day, everybody.
Yay!
Yes.